لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو
الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو
فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملت أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكون في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأت بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. Inshallah, we're going to start from ayah number 13 of Surah Luqman. As we were mentioning the previous lessons, this surah, it mentions the story of Luqman, and in the past week we talked about Luqman, whether he was a prophet or not, and we came to the conclusion that the majority of scholars, they say that he was not in fact a prophet, but he was given a lot of wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about that wisdom in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ We gave Luqman the wisdom. So in this part of the surah, we talk about how Luqman advises his son and tells him about the most important things in life and what lessons we can derive from that teaching of a father of his to his child. Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُ When Luqman said to his son, while he was advising him. The wording here is very special because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used a sentence in Arabic is called jumla haliya, okay, a sentence which is haliya, and the understanding is that jumla haliya, it occurs when there is a consistent and constant thing going on. So here Allah says, when Luqman advised his son while And remember when Luqman said to his son, while he was advising him. So while he was advising him, it means, it's jumla haliya, that means that the advice to Luqman, by Luqman to his son, was taking place on a continuous and constant basis. It was not just a one-off thing that the father just says to his son one time and then says, thinks that he's done his job, but it is a constant and continuous thing that has to be done at all times. What does he say? Ya Bunay, O my beloved son. The word Bunay, it is Ismut Tasghir. Tasghir means that when You have, for example, in Arabic, the word Rajul, it means man. Rujail, it means little man, small man. Okay, and you can have many different examples along the same lines. So, Ibn, it means son, and Bunay means little son, young son. Okay, so from here we can derive two meanings, two understandings. One, that you have to try to advise your children while they're still young. Do not leave it too late. Many people, oh, he's still young, he's still small, he's, you know, let him get a little bit bigger, let him get a little bit bigger. And when he gets bigger, then he doesn't listen to anything, then it's too late. And we look at the hadith of Umar ibn Abi Salima. He says that kuntu fi hijrin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was in the lap of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, wa kanat yadi tatishu fi as-sahfa. And I was eating with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and my hand was wandering all around the plate, basically making a whole mess like children tend to do. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, the Rawi Umar ibn Abi Salima says, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya ghulam, O boy, O child, Sammillah, say Bismillah when you eat. Wa kul bi yaminik, eat with your right hand. Wa kul mimma yalik, and eat from that which is close to you. Meaning, don't mess the whole plate up. So Umar ibn Abi Salima says that from that day on, that is how I used to eat. I continue to eat. So what can we derive from that? That Umar ibn Abi Salima says, I was sitting in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How old does a child have to be sitting in the lap? 2, 3, maximum maybe four years old. After that, the child becomes a little bit more independent. He doesn't want to sit in anybody's lap. So even while he was so young, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a point of teaching him his manners of eating. And because he's small, he retains it and he remembers it, and from that day on, it's what he practices. Okay, there's a saying in Arabic, "Al-ilmu fi al-sighr kan naqshi fi al-hajar," that a knowledge attained while a person is young, it's like carving into a rock, carving into a stone. Okay, a person never forgets it, always retains it. So the first lesson we learn from this word "ya bunay," it means that we have to teach our children while they're young and not wait for them to get too old. Secondly, we can understand from this, even though the child may be getting a little bit old, but to talk to him in loving tones, in a loving way, it is something that could be practiced. Okay, so maybe the child is not too young. Maybe he is getting on 8, 9, 10 years old, 11, 12 years old. But still, the father, when he is advising him, should not be using harsh tones, but using tones which are loving. Like, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son, O my lovely son, O my beautiful son, and things of that nature. So, Ya Bunay, La Tushrik Billah. Don't commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first lesson the child has to be taught is the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not want to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our households, but this is something that has to be done on a regular basis. Talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains us. He is our provider. He is our creator. And the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has to be instilled into the children from a very young age. So, لا تشرك بالله, do not commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, the shirk is a huge sin, a sin which is unforgivable. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive that a person commits shirk with him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُولَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. And anything else under than that or less than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive anything he wants. He can forgive anything he wants other than that. So Luqman, the first thing he teaches is the Tawheed, the Wahdani of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and teaching the child not to commit shirk, to to make sure that he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this belief at the very least. إِنَّ شِرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And we advise the human being about his parents. Now, from on the one hand, we look at the previous ayah, and it says, Luqman is advising his son. And in the next ayah, it says, we, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we talked about this we last week, I believe. It's a royal we. It's a we of grandeur, okay, of greatness. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. We advise the human being. We advise the human being. So to show that even though Luqman is advising his son about respect to his parents, this order is not just from Luqman, but it is something emphasized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically. And on top of that, this thing changing from third person, Luqman, he's talking, and after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does iltifat. So this is known as iltifat, from third person to first person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it. So this is something to do with balagha. I don't want to go into that too much. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We advise the human being about his parents. حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنَنَا عَلَى وَهْنَ. His mother carried him with difficulty after difficulty. With difficulty after difficulty. So the difficulty, three times difficulty. The difficulty of actually bearing the child, carrying the child around, okay, and increasing the weight of the body 45 pounds within a period of that 9 months. And then on top of that, giving birth to the child, okay, the second thing, okay, which is, again, in this day and age, we have the epidural, which basically numbs the pain. But before the pain of childbirth, I've heard that the woman has the pain, the threshold of pain, 9 times more than a man, okay, because she has to give birth to a child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her this sabr and patience, and she is able to bear it with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wahnan ala wahn, and that's the second difficulty. And the third difficulty is taking care of the child for the first 2 years of his life, until the child becomes a little bit independent and starts walking around on his own. Okay, so these three difficulties were the reason, according to some scholars, where the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked that who is more worthy of my good companionship, O Prophet of Allah, so the Prophet ﷺ said three times, Ummuk, 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 and then the fourth time he said, Abuk. Okay, so three times the mother, the fourth time the father. The respect to the mother, it is imperative, it's important, and that's why the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he specifically talks about the mother, that the mother carried him with difficulty after difficulty, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. And the leaving of the child, or the separation of the child from the mother, it takes place after 2 years. Okay, so for 2 years, the mother feeds the child, breastfeeds the child, and then after that, the child is weaned, and he stops and starts, you know, he's more into solid food, and then basically becomes a little bit more independent, walks around, and the mother can be a little bit more relaxed in terms of looking after the child. You know, she can be confident that he's not going to put anything in his mouth that he's not supposed to, and so on. Anishkur li wali walidayk. What was the wasiyah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, we advise the human being about his parents. What was the advice? Anishkur li wali walidayk. Be grateful to me and to your parents. So this is, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in a few places in the Quran. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be good to your parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord ordained that you should only worship him and be good to the parents. Okay, and here, be grateful to me, meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ, and to your parents. So again, this importance of being respectful to the parents and being good to them is emphasized by putting together the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one hand, and then the status of the parents right next to. right next to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course is our creator, but the means of our existence is our parents. The means, the asbab, the sabab of our coming into this world is our parents, and because of that we should have the utmost respect for them. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ, to only to me you will return. Okay, so what does that mean? Usually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, to me you will return, what that means is that if you do not respect your parents, if you are not obedient to your parents, then to me you will return, and I will ask you about this and question you about this and possibly punish you about this. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ, you're coming back to me, so be careful. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they strive that you should commit shirk with me about which you have no knowledge, then do not obey them. That's where you draw the line. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the creator. Okay, so if they tell you to do something wrong, if they tell you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where you stop and draw the line, and you are not supposed to be obedient to them. And obviously if they're telling you to commit shirk, then you're not supposed to be doing that and obeying them. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, that even though they are telling you to do that, even though they may themselves be disbelievers, but still you are supposed to give them good companionship in this world, be good to them, be obedient to them in this world. Maybe because of their action, because of your actions, they might be affected, and therefore they might even become Muslims because of what they see of good habits and good akhlaq and manners within you that Islam teaches you. واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي, and follow the way of those people that turn to me. Follow the way of those people that turn to me. Anaba is the same as actually tawbah. It means to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then only to me will be your return, and I will inform you of that what you have been doing. So again, it's a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that be obedient to me, follow the ways of those who make tawbah, who have a companionship with me, who have a good relationship with me, and when you do that, then you will be on safe ground. Otherwise, they will also be taking you and leading you astray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whoever tries to imitate any kind of people, then he will be with them on the Day of Judgment. If you try to imitate disbelievers, try to be with them, then you will be with them on the Day of Judgment. Okay? And al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. On the Day of Judgment, a person will be with him who he truly loves. If he loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he loves the Sahaba, he will be resurrected with them. And if he loves other people and other entities, he will be raised with them. So it's important to follow the way of those people that were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not anybody that, you know, that we like or who we love in this world. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about Luqman advising his son about self-accountability. This is very, very important. If we instill into the child self-accountability, then the child, whether we are there or not, the child will be good and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are trying to be dictators within our household, as long as we are in the house, the children will be obedient. As soon as the stick is removed and the father is away, then, as they say, when the cat is away, the mice will play. Okay, that's what's going to happen. If we instill into the children this very important aspect of self-accountability, that whether the father is there or not, whether the mother is there or not, whether there's a stick or not, you have to be accountable for your actions, then they will be good and they will be obedient at all times. And so this is the thing that the next ayah instills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again, going back to what Luqman is telling his child, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son, O my little son, إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Indeed, if there is even the mithqal habba min khardal, that means that even if there's a seed of which is equivalent to a mustard seed, mustard seeds are very small black seeds. If there's a mustard seed of deeds that you've done, whether that was on a rock, or it was on the earth, or it was in the skies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that on the day of judgment. Ya'ti biha Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it. Okay, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does any good deed of khair, he will see it, and whoever does any bad deed, shar, he will see that also. Okay, so whether that's as small as a mustard seed that you have done anywhere on this earth, even in the skies, okay, probably in the day of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody could have imagined that a person could do a deed in the sky. Okay, but in this day and age we can, because we are all flying in airplanes, which was obviously not around at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you do a bad deed in the sky, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that on the day of judgment. So when a person understands this, then the person will be accountable for his or her own actions, even if nobody is around, with the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me and He knows what I'm doing. Ya'ti biha Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring those that deed. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is latif. Latif means very knowledgeable of very fine things, knowledgeable of very small things, and things which are basically invisible to human eyes, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's aware of those things. Latif. And khabir, He's aware of everything. Khabir, He's aware of everything at all times and consistently. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya bunayya, aqimi salata wa'mur bil ma'rufi wanha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak. Oh my beloved son, establish the salat and order people to do good and forbid from evil and have sabr, be patient upon what reaches you. So again, in this verse we are taught the importance of being, first of all, an upright person in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also contributing to the good of society. Firstly, establishing the salat. The connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, first and foremost. And fulfilling, first of all, our obligations between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing. Second thing, amr bil ma'ruf. Ordering people to do good. Wanha 'anil munkar, and forbidding people from evil. Okay? So, contributing well to the society. If there's anything going wrong in society, trying to correct that and fulfilling that obligation of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, this is a responsibility that we should instill into our children. Okay, and then this thing is, again, like we know that a person who is giving da'wah, he can never be mad'u. Da'i can never be mad'u. What does that mean? That a person who is giving da'wah, let's say, for example, I invite everybody for dinner today. Okay, anybody who knows that I'm inviting other people for dinner, you know, they know that I am inviting other people, right? So nobody's going to invite me to their house because they know I'm going to be busy. Okay, so a da'i, person who gives da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will never be invited by forces of evil. Okay, he will always be upright and steadfast himself. So that thing, if we instill that into our children, that always strive for the good and forbid evil. Okay? And then what's going to happen when you do that? You are going to be afflicted with all kinds of problems and challenges. People are going to question your sincerity. People are going to accuse you of being a hypocrite. And people who may have known you before you are a better person, they're going to say, well, we know what you did in the past, and now you've, you know, changed, and now you want us to be along those lines, but we remember what you used to do in the past. So accusations are going to fly, and the person is going to be under so much pressure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasbir ala ma asabak. When this happens, then you have to make sabr. You have to be patient and persevere. The word sabr, patience, is kind of like a deficient kind of translation for it. More perseverance, steadfastness is more appropriate. So waspir ala ma asabak, and be patient upon what you endure or whatever happens to you. Inna thalika min azmi al-umur. Indeed, this is something from the big, when a person has a big intention or a big target, then this is from those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sabr that a person endures when he is going through difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it is something that is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is something that is huge, and it's not something that can be taken lightly. It is something that is difficult to do, but if a person does it, then that thing is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to continue the lesson next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said.
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد